You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. It is Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST, and right here on the Locked On LSU podcast, where we're brought to you by Rock Auto and rockauto.com. We'll delve into what Ed Ogeron had to say on a Wednesday as his team is continuing preparations for Saturday's game against South Carolina, including what Will Muschamp had to say as well about his team coming down to Baton Rouge. But there was really significant news broken by Sports Illustrated on Wednesday, and that is that LSU has self-imposed penalties in connection with several rules violations. The one that has grabbed the most headlines, but maybe the least significant, is the Odell Beckham news. So Odell Beckham, after the national championship game, was caught on camera handing $2,000 in $100 bills to a variety of players. As part of their sanctions, LSU has banned Odell Beckham from the facility for 2 years. Two-year ban for Odell Beckham. Because it's Beckham, because he has immense national popularity, that is obviously going to be what is plastered all over headlines. That was the headline and the front page of the Advocate in Baton Rouge on Thursday morning. That is not really significant. Look, Odell is a great ambassador for LSU. He's internationally known. You love having that type of connection with your alums. You obviously hope that they give back of their time, their influence, and their money. And that will happen again with Odell. But Odell did a dumb thing. And maybe this is part where we can look and say how antiquated and stupid NCAA rules are, because Odell Beckham gave cash to players who were declaring and were no longer eligible. Maybe it would affect their eligibility. But I can also understand to a degree why, if you're LSU, you can't allow that to happen unscathed, whatever. So that's the least significant. Of greater importance, and there was also another self-imposed sanction where Ed Ogeron in January of 2019 had unknowingly impermissible contact with a recruit. They pulled him off the road for a few days. That's already done. The big one had to do with the embezzlement at Our Lady of the Lake. And this only came to light because a couple of years ago, an LSU booster, John Paul Funes, was the former CEO of the Our Lady of the Lake Foundation. And ultimately, what that investigation into his embezzlement found was that some of the funds embezzled were given to the parent of the father of Vidal Alexander between 2012 and 2017 for what was described as a no-show job. Basically, Vidal Alexander's father was paid by Our Lady of the Lake for not doing a job. So that violation was only uncovered because of the legal investigation, the federal investigation into Our Lady of the Lake and John Paul Funes, but ultimately it caught the eye of the NCAA, who then investigated, and LSU has now self-imposed penalties. They've docked themselves 8 scholarships over the next 2 years. It is important to note, though, that that does not reduce the 25 that LSU can sign, just the total number, which is doable. Let's face it, LSU this year really only has about 70 on scholarship anyway. So docking 85 to 81 isn't that big of a deal. You know, every year how you see like the walk-on awarded the scholarship? That's kind of what would be done away with maybe if you didn't have those available scholarships. LSU also self-imposed some recruiting sanctions, limiting official visits, limiting unofficial visits, limiting contact in certain contact periods. So LSU has self-imposed these sanctions, and they've gone to the NCAA and said, here, this is what we're doing. And in years past, the NCAA would always add on to sanctions. It's going to be interesting to see if the NCAA accepts these sanctions. And the reason this is mightily relevant is because LSU currently, the basketball investigation, is going to the IARP, it's the Independent Review Panel. And essentially what LSU wants is the NCAA to say, look, okay, football, case closed. This investigation is over. LSU self-imposed penalties, either accept them or add on to them, but be done with football. Basketball, with this independent review panel, is going to take another 6 to 12 months at least to go through that process. why drag football along with it when the football investigation is done? That's what LSU is saying to the NCAA. We don't know if the NCAA will accept that or if it will send football and basketball together to the independent review panel. The problem and why LSU does not want that is because if LSU is hit with level one violations in both football and in basketball, they could be then tabbed with the dreaded lack of institutional control label. And if that's the case, then the NCAA can come in and pull back the curtains on everything, investigate everything in your entire athletic department. And if you are looking, you will find something. It's like, think of it like COVID testing. If you test everybody every day, all the time, you are going to turn up positive tests, even if it's like people who are asymptomatic or whatever the case may be. If you go and peel back the curtain and are looking at any athletic department, you will find something somewhere. That's what LSU wants to avoid. And in some respects, they're willing to say, close the book on football, handle basketball separately. I don't think LSU is saying, look, basketball is the sacrificial lamb. They just don't want whatever happens with basketball. And it's very clear the NCAA wants their pound of flesh in basketball, although to this point there has been no concrete evidence to suggest wrongdoing in basketball. As crazy as that is because of the perception, if there were, there would have been evidence come forth, and so far there is none. But if the NCAA wants their pound of flesh, LSU doesn't want that to bleed over onto the football program as well. So that's what LSU is hopeful happens here. We will find out, hopefully, in very short order. All right, it is the Locked On LSU podcast. In short order, it will be a football weekend. You know, you might be sitting at your couch, wherever you may be, feet up, maybe at whatever part of the country you're in, or it might be 80 degrees still, or it might be cool, but wherever you are, make sure you crack open an ice-cold Coors Light. When you need to unwind, when you need to hit the reset button, when you just need to chill, get the beer that was literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light, a crisp, refreshing beer, as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Perfect for that moment to unwind. So this weekend, when you're watching college football, when you're watching the Tigers on Saturday night against the Gamecocks, make sure you have plenty of ice-cold Coors Light. And remember, to celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And we are also, as always here on Thursdays, brought to you by friends at Rock Auto. RockAuto.com, R-A-U-T-O, RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Anything from motor oil, if you change your oil, to windshield wipers or brake lights. Our friend Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints, he needed a new truck bed, a new gate on his truck bed, which broke, and he got it at rockauto.com. And you'll get it at the best price possible as well. Easy to use homepage. You can go type in the product that you're searching for in the search bar at the top, or search by year, make, model, body style, the exact part you know. It's all there at rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It's rockauto.com. Be sure to tell them at checkout how you heard about us. Mention Locked On LSU at rockauto.com. So as we roll along here on the Locked On LSU podcast brought to you by Rock Auto, let's get back to what's going to happen on the field this weekend for LSU against South Carolina. Ed Ogeron on the SEC coaches teleconference updated the biggest story in these parts, which is an update on Miles Brennan.
We don't think that Miles Brennan is going to be able to play. It's still not 100% yet, but he's very questionable. Max and TJ have looked very good in practice. We'll make a decision at the end of the week.
So no Miles Brennan, that's not any great surprise. What is Brennan doing right now, however?
Rehab. He hadn't been out to practice. With the players that are not able to practice, I'd rather them stay in the training room and get rehab to get better. And he's been working with Jack, and right now we don't think he's going to play. It doesn't look like he's going to play. I'm not saying he won't. Some miraculous thing may come up, but for right now we're planning on going with either TJ or Max.
So it seems like it will be Max Johnson or TJ Finley or both. Ed Ogeron was asked if the offense will change with either those under center.
Well, you know, we're not going to change the offense. We kept the same offense, so we're running the same plays. Nothing's changed much. We're going to give, because that's what they've been running, and we want to give them both a chance to compete, and both of them have competed very well. I have no problem starting either one. Whatever one is going to be, it's going to be very close, and more than likely both of them will play.
So Ogeron kind of set the stage there Wednesday morning. Then Wednesday evening, he had the Ed Ogeron Show, his Coach O's radio show that he has weekly, and he was able to elaborate a little more in a little bit of an open-collar setting and talked more about what they are expecting from T.J. Finley and Max Johnson.
Well, look, this has been brewing for a while. I mean, Miles was one play away from getting hurt. That could have happened in the first game. So we've been talking about this as a coaching staff since day one. Who's going to be the player that goes in? And some days you walk off the field, you think it's one player. Some days you walk off the field, you think it's another. They're freshmen. They're going to make mistakes. They're learning the offense. But now it's their time to step up. I do believe they're going to be ready to step up. But the thing is, we need is consistency. We can't turn the ball over. We got to operate the offense. We can't just run all over the pocket, try to make plays on our own, stay within the system. And the guy that can do that the best is the one we're going to play.
It is certainly worth noting that against both Vanderbilt and against Missouri, when LSU was warming up a backup quarterback, each time it was Max Johnson. And I know I've shared this candidly before, but every time I would ask in the offseason, and keep in mind, because there was no spring football and because media was not allowed to fall practice and fall camp, we haven't been able to put our eyes on these freshmen yet. What we've seen is what you've seen, huddle highlights and whatever video LSU released from fall camp. So I don't have a great firsthand testimonial to share with you. Earlier in the week, Rohan Davey was with us. We told you what he thought because he has seen both of them. If you missed that, go back and listen to yesterday's podcast, and you can hear that. But ultimately, what I was told is, listen, we think Miles Brennan is going to be a really good quarterback, but Max Johnson is going to be special. That was the word that was used to me. So my guess is it's going to be Max Johnson to start. I also think both will play because until they're actually out there with the actual speed of a game and a college defense under the lights, you never know how they're going to respond. The thing that I want to see, really, is just protect the football. What we always see with young quarterbacks is they're turnover machines. They just can't protect the football because the speed of the game is so different. When you can't judge the speed of a college defense, an SEC defense, when you're used to throwing against high school defenses, your receiver may appear open, but you've misjudged the speed of that defensive back and his ability to close on that receiver and get in front and make the play. So that's the thing that I would like to see from these guys on Saturday, is just protect the football. The other thing I'd obviously like to see is get the running game going. And Ed Ogeron talked about that as well.
Putting the ball in our best player's hands, let him make plays. And I think we have three fantastic running backs. We need to run the ball more, especially on first down, and get positive yards. It's just not a matter of running the football. It'd be second and 10. Now we need to get 4, 5, 6 yards. Let's get a second and 4. Let's get manageable third down. But you know what? I'm not going to complain about the offense. I mean, we're scoring 41 points a game. That should be good enough to win. Are there areas to improve on? Yes, and we're going to improve on third down and goal line in the run game. But I think our passing game has been superb, and I'm very pleased with Miles Brennan and his play.
That should mean expect to see a good bit of John Emery on Saturday night against South Carolina and that South Carolina run defense. Overall, though, LSU was forced with making a lot of corrections defensively, and Ed Ogeron said they feel pretty confident there.
You know, I think they feel good about the work we put in the last couple of weeks, especially on defense and especially on goal line offense. We worked extra hard on that. And I know we made the corrections. I think that we're going to be a better football team when we come out Saturday because of the work we've done the last couple of weeks.
Ed Ogeron discussing his team. He also discussed his opponent, the South Carolina Gamecocks. When we come back here on Locked On LSU, brought to you by Rock Auto, we'll take a preview of the Gamecocks as we inch closer to LSU and South Carolina. Locked On LSU, brought to you by Rock Auto, your team every day. Wrapping up another edition of the Locked On LSU podcast, your team every day. Please subscribe to the podcast if you've not done so yet. We appreciate that. And every Thursday, we're brought to you by Rock Auto. Ed Ogeron on his coach's show, not mincing words about the importance of Saturday.
It was addressed with the staff by me on Monday morning, and it was addressed with the team by me on Monday afternoon. This is a pivotal game for us. This is a game that we're going to prepare to win. We have prepared to win. We have a mental mindset that we're going to do whatever it takes to win the football game.
We'll let you hear more from Ed Ogeron on the Gamecocks, but former LSU defensive coordinator, now South Carolina head coach Will Muschamp, also on the SEC coaches teleconference, was asked about the LSU offense with either Johnson or Finley and if that might change the offense as opposed to with Miles Brennan pulling the trigger.
They've been very successful offensively. You go back to last year. Obviously, they've got some new faces in some different spots, and Miles Brennan in three games has thrown 11 touchdown passes. They're averaging right at 40 points a game. They're averaging, you know, close to 400 yards passing a game. They've been able to move the ball on the ground when they've wanted to. You know, they're averaging close to 500 yards a game. So they've been very successful. I don't know why anybody would change anything. And they have two young quarterbacks in Finley and Johnson that they're both, you know, really excited about. Steve Ensminger and Scott Linehan, as well as a quarterback coach. Those guys have coached quarterbacks for a long time, and they know how to get a young guy ready to play, and we're going to play to his strengths. And if it's the young guy, then we're going to do things that they feel comfortable with.
Muschamp also discussed how his team is preparing without knowing who the starting quarterback is going to be.
Well, I just don't think from a skill set standpoint there's a lot difference between any of the three quarterbacks. Obviously, Miles has the experience, and the two young guys are really good players that we think are, you know, very talented, and we've watched all of their high school tapes. So, I think it goes back to schematically. There's not going to be an overhaul or change of who they are or what they do. It's not like they're going to just change, you know, offensively. They've been very successful offensively. You go back to last year, and then you go back to the three games this year. They've been extremely productive. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves as far as what they're accomplishing offensively. So we're not planning on a wholesale change of what they do offensively.
I think Muschamp hit the nail on the head, and you know, we wondered at collectively coming into this season if LSU offensively would regress or revert with no Joe Burrow, no Joe Brady, no Ja'Marr Chase, no Justin Jefferson, no Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And the reality is LSU looks like the same offense. They may not have the same players and certainly a different skill level and functionality on the offensive line and et cetera in depth, but they're still out there. I mean, LSU's third in the league in scoring right now. I mean, it's an about face. LSU, from what they were, LSU is not regressing offensively. They're never going to revert to what they were at one point. It is moving ahead. So Will Muschamp's right now, the question is going to be, can LSU, with the freshman quarterbacks, continue executing the offense at this level? Now, Ed Ogeron was asked about this South Carolina defense.
Yeah, well, there's going to be some tugs. They do a lot of tugging. And but they're well coached, man. They're going to press. They're going to be all over you. They're stingy. It's all going to be about our releases, our routes. Yeah, but we have some excellent receivers. This is going to be a great matchup.
Second time this week, Ed Ogeron has mentioned handsy defensive backs from South Carolina. So certainly something worth watching on Saturday if Ed Ogeron is able to entice a couple of flags out of the refs with these sort of handsy physical defensive backs from South Carolina. We will certainly keep our eye on that Saturday. Glad to have you aboard with us here on a Thursday edition of the Locked On LSU podcast, your team every day. On tomorrow's episode, you'll hear from Mike Dettillier, Ryan Clark, and you'll also hear a full preview of the Gamecocks and our pick, and we'll look forward to bringing that to you on Friday's edition of the Locked On LSU podcast. Until then, it is Locked On LSU presented by Rock Auto, your team every day.